stand for the pledge. We need a flag. I have a flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic
for which it stands,
under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, roll call.
Mark, can you unmute Patty? I think she's on 1450.
Okay, unmute. Yeah, she is. Patty, are you there?
Yay. Okay, yep. Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Ms. Kurtica.
No.
Mr. Sill.
Here.
Okay, you got a quorum.
All right, thank you, Patty.
Yep.
Additions, deletions, corrections. I have one addition I'd like to make. Move adjournment to number 12 and make 11. Property at 196A Derby Avenue, possible sale, discussion, possible action. I'll make that in the form of a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good, thank you. You have the minutes from February 27th in your packet. Oh, wait a minute.
Ron, you need to do the public. Ron, you need to do the public portion.
Anyone from the public wishing to speak? Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Anyone from the public wishing to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on to number 6, approval of minutes of February 27th. You had them in your packet. Is there a motion to accept those minutes?
So moved.
A motion.
All right. Motion by who?
Yep.
I think it was Rob.
Camille.
And Camille seconded. Discussion?
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passed. Number 7, appearance of front of Bradley School. Rob, I think you want to bring this up?
Yeah, well, I had received an email, and actually somebody actually spoke to me about it as well. I know an email was sent to several people. It was forwarded on to me afterwards. The concern was the appearance of the grass area. I think the curbing, there's some spots where it's been missing, and there's sand and dirt falling into the driveway area. And also I noticed there's, I don't know whether to call it a tree, a bush. It looks more like a weed. It's about 10 feet wide and about 15 to 20 feet tall at this point. I've been watching it grow for about, I don't know, a better part of 10 years, five to 10 years. And we seem to be just mowing around it at this point. And I don't know what it is. I think it just needs to come down.
Well, Doc, if you'd like to talk a little about this so we know what our plan is or what we're going to do.
Yeah, we've been with the grass at the front since I came to district. It's been a mess, and every year we cannot use type of pesticides on it, given it's on the property of an elementary school. With school out now, Matt Cunningham, when I first got an email from regarding this, Matt Cunningham is looking into what other products could be used to help bring that grass back. But right now, we don't have any pesticide products to be able to put on it that can put down. We'd have to hire somebody under a certified program if they have a pesticide and they would down. But he is looking into that, and given closed now, we have a little bit more of a window to try and do that. As far as any tree, Mr. Hyder, I'd have to go back to our tree warden, which is actually Mr. Armino. He would have to determine that it can come down. Apparently, there's a little bit of a history of trees coming down that couldn't have come down. So now everything must go through the tree warden to ensure that it was not planted in memory or recognition of somebody.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I'm just not sure that this is even a tree. It doesn't even fall under the category of a tree. It's more of a weed, but understood. Point well taken.
But so Matt Cunningham is going to have a plan for us on the grass part of it. They were going to reach out to Ed and to help facilitate that as well. So more to come on it.
Also, the in the email indicated that the backstop, there was a portion of the backstop at the softball field, the baseball field in the back that was coming down. I haven't been back there in a while, so I can't speak to that. I don't know the condition of the fencing around the field.
Is Ed on? I do know that the same email did go to Ed, so I'm not sure if he had a chance to send anybody out to look at the backstop.
Yeah, Ron, or Rob, we have looked at that. We've made some temporary repairs to that backstop. I've spoken with Dennis O'Connell. He, I believe, is in the process of pricing a permanent replacement for that. I know it's been there for quite a few years and it's not in very good shape, but we've done really all we can do with that.
Okay. I mean, no one's supposed to be back there at this point anyway, so.
I know Dennis is looking into it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So it sounds like we have a few things in the work, one in progress, and we'll keep up with you on it, Matt.
And Doc, if I may, if you could have Matt Cunningham give me a call, I can recommend the company that we use for the City Green if he wants to give them a call.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, then, Rob, I don't think we need a motion to go to the full board. We'll follow up with this.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. And Patty, you can make a note. Our alternate I see is here, Charlie Sampson.
Okay, thank you.
All right, moving on to number 8, maintaining safe and clean conditions at Wittick Park. Ed, I know you're aware of this. You probably went up there a couple weeks ago when we had all the stuff on Facebook there.
We have been there several times a week for the last couple of weeks. We've had personnel walking the trail, the circular trail starting at the parking lot, going up to the soccer fields, back around, and down to the spillway. We've done that several times. Rob had called me or texted me last week about a hole in one of the trails that's been repaired. We've added two or three more barrels, especially in front of the spillway, and we've emptied those several times. We had removed the barrels at one time because, and it's happening again, people dispose of their household trash in there, in the barrels, in the parking lot. But I guess it's going to have to be something we're going to have to deal with because I don't want to leave the barrels out of there because then the trash just goes on the ground. But we're on it. We're watching it weekly. And if you should get any emails or any calls on it, just get a hold of me. We'll send somebody right up there.
So the guys and the girls or whatever are actually walking the paths and going in there?
Yes, they start at the up the road. Walk up to the soccer field, come down the, I guess, the kayak trail to get down to the water. They walk across through the woods, come back out down by the spillway. And like I said, we've done that several times.
Anybody else have any discussion on this?
There's a couple of signs that are falling over there. There's a picnic table, I don't know if it's a picnic table or if it's a bench down by the waterway as you pass by the monument, if you head towards the right, that path over there, over by, it's right on the edge of the water. I don't know if that's something that could be cleaned up. It's been there for years. It's nothing that's being used, but it's been damaged and it's laying on its side now. So it may be
down by the down by the flagpole, Rob?
I'm sorry?
Where the flag is, where the...
Yeah, if you go to where the flag is and where the monument is, if you go to the right, and walk through that path, there's a bench that's been damaged and pushed over on its side, and Not of any
use. I think we repaired that last year. I'll look at it tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. Also, there's a sign in that same vicinity that's been knocked over as well.
Is that the Alderman John Zielinski sign? That path was actually dedicated to him years ago.
I believe it is, yeah.
Long time. I think we need to get a new sign for that, Ed. I don't know if you could take a look at that.
All right. Is it still there?
It's deteriorating. It may be on the ground there. It was a red sign that said dedicated to Alderman John C. Zielinski on it.
Right. I'm not aware of it. I'll look tomorrow, and if it's not there, I'll check and see what we need.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I speak real quick?
Sure.
See, this is what I'm getting at. I mean, if there's so many issues, please call Ed ahead of time. I mean, we're getting it now, so now it's going to be another few days for him to get something done up there and get the people up there. I mean, if there's an issue, just make sure everything gets up to him so we can get it. I see these meetings going like this, and I'm like, I think we can have this done a week or two ago. I don't know. That's just what I'm seeing on this, Ron. And
well, we spoke about it a week ago. Remember, Mayor?
It's just like, but you have his number, and everybody has his number. I'm just like, see some, like, you know, communication between all of us. I think we get a lot of this done, and just
absolutely, Mayor. There was a sinkhole over the waterway connecting the upper reservoir to the lower reservoir, and physically over the water, that was, rocks were falling in, and I contacted Ed that morning, and it was fixed within a couple of hours. So we are contacting him if we see something like
I mean you see where I think you guys see where I'm coming from too. It's just like, I don't want this to be some sort of session constantly going after certain department heads and stuff like that. But if we see something during the week, I mean, I talk to Ronnie a lot. I talk to you, Rob, a lot. Camille calls me too. It's just, you know, more communications. That's what I think we're doing. And I think it's good. And it's good to talk about things, and, you know, some things got overlooked, and I love to see that. And I think we're doing good. I think we're doing very well here, so.
I think, Mayor, too, once in a while we put it on the agenda, the people see we're reacting, we're talking about it, we're getting things done, so.
Yep, no, absolutely. Yep. See some, say some. That's the way to do it. So I think that's great. And you, like I said, every alderman and alderwoman has his number, so please, I can't reiterate that enough. Please call him. Thank you.
All right, and Ed, if you need anything from us to get things done or something's in the way, just let us know. All right.
He only has their picture for a couple seconds.
We'll move on to number 9, repairs to Francis Street. I don't know if Alderman Joe DiMartino was on this, but I think he was down there, Ed. And someone called me down there again. I don't think I have to tell you.
No, I'm sure I know who called.
And I have a list of pile of cut debris, 4 rotting old stumps left from where the city cut 4 trees. And can DPW go down and take a look?
Okay. I will have someone go there tomorrow.
All right.
Just so that we're all on the same page, Francis Street is one of our busier locations. I'm sure you know why.
Tough street, tough.
We are down there often. We've been there for potholes, for bulk. We've been there for brush that was cut and just left on the side of the road. We had a catch basin that we repaired at the end of Francis Street. We have one more catch basin that's actually on a private property. It's a city right-of-way, but it's within a private fenced-in yard that we need to repair. We didn't get to it last year. It's on our list to do this year. We are down to Francis Street often, and when you speak to Joe can attest to that.
Oh yeah, I know. I've talked to him several times about it. We're in discussion with the same party.
Hey Mark, someone texted me that they're in the waiting room. Can you check and see if they can be let in?
That
for me?
I don't think you heard.
Yes, I received a text that someone's in the waiting room and they're looking to get in to the meeting. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I did. They're in. Nobody's waiting in the waiting room
right now. All right, thanks.
All right, Mark, we're missing something off the agenda. I just noticed it was on the notes sent to you about the...
I am on there.
What's that?
About the repairs to the building, City Hall. It was one of the notes I sent to you.
Then I forgot, Ron. I mean, it's really helpful if I get these by email.
It was all together. I have the email here. It's on there. But let me revert back to, I think we're finished with Francis Street. Let me revert back to additions and add the City Hall building and make that number 12 and adjournment number 13. I'll make that in a motion. Can I have a second on that?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's number 12. Now an adjournment will be number 13. Okay, we're through with Francis Street. Let's move on to number 10, reverse 911 for City of Derby. Of course, Jerry, this was highlighted big time last week. And I know myself, my wife, we got the call on the phone, but it came across as potential spam, the one we got from Hartford. So my wife didn't answer it, of course. And I know my neighbor was out raking. We're only seven houses away. She was raking her lawn at 6:45 out in front of her house. So people were kind of nervous. And we're looking to do something, if we can, for the City of Derby ourselves. Maybe you can talk on this.
So what are you thinking? You want to provide additional reverse 911 capabilities?
I think the way this happened Sunday morning, even at 7:00, they're up in the park looking for this guy. Nobody knew. Our neighborhoods didn't know anything or anything. Shouldn't there be some way that we could have been notified? Is there something we can set up?
Well, let me begin by, I'm not going to go into the specifics of this event, because the timelines that you're seeing publicly are not necessarily precise and they exclude certain information and details that aren't known publicly. So I can speak on that later, but with the information we knew, we put out as timely manner as we could what we needed to. Now, to your point, do we have a reverse 911 system? We have a extremely robust reverse 911 system. The state of Connecticut contracts with Everbridge. I'm not sure what the product is below it. I think Nixle, but the state of Connecticut refers to it as the DAS alert system, which is basically, CT alert program. So the entire state of Connecticut on the state level has that 911 system. Every municipality has that 911 system paid for by the state of Connecticut and provided to us at no cost. The way we select how we send out messages is by a geogrid. We map a polygon. So if we wanted to alert the low-lying areas of flood warning, we would line that out and we would send out the notification. If we want to send out a message to Ansonia, Derby, and Shelton, we would outline those areas and send it out. And at the time, the first message that was sent out was for a very restricted, narrow area with the unconfirmed information we had. Again, I can't get into a lot of details. Now, the second point, if you want to do something like Ansonia has, they ignore the free product offered from the state of Connecticut, and they pay $10,000+ to go to another product, Ford versus Chevy. They pay for a product called Code Red, out of, I can give you the name. Name is OnSolve Corporation. With that, the Connecticut product for us is limited to emergency messages. We've tried it for routine messages and we've gotten spanked big time to the point of almost losing it. The Code Red is also limited to emergency messages, but at the same time, you get a certain amount of normal transactions that they pay for. So if you see some of the messages coming out from the mayor's office in Ansonia, Seymour, et cetera, they're paying a big premium to send that out. So that is something that is available to us, but we do have a very robust E911. I think some of the issues are is that it relies on a reverse 911 database, which is a public database owned by the state of Connecticut. And you can opt in or opt out of different options. There's text messaging. There is, you can opt in because if you're not in the 911 database, you can opt in as somebody else, as a text message, as an app. They have an app called Nixel. So there's a lot of more robust stuff. So maybe we need to get out more to the public than researching or buying another product. So I leave it up to you guys. If you're interested, I'll research the Code Red or another option for you, but we do have one.
Yeah, I definitely like to see another option. We have a senior population and getting into all this stuff of doing this and doing that, I don't know how that would work, you know, but what's a life worth?
Ron. So, you know, while this all was transpiring with the chief, so I was online with him and we were going over exactly what you asked about, and you came, chief, you did, you know, do part of the contact in the reverse 911, right? For the
That's
area.
Correct. That's
so
correct.
So the down to a point.
The initial geospace that we selected was very specific and very generic because we were acting. There's misinformation in the media right now as to the sequence of events, and we didn't know what we knew based on your reverse timeline. We were acting under an extreme abundance of caution. We had nothing confirmed. We had speculation actually at an early point, and we erred on the side of caution. So there was a message sent out locally, and at that time, more information was being developed at the state level, and they sent out messages using the same system. Remember that if you pay the $10,000, you're going to use the same database with the same limitations, with the same technology, except now you can send out, and I'm being sarcastic, but you can send out, we want to have a free ice cream event on the green, and that will be included, whereas the current state system does not allow for that type of usage.
So there was an earlier notice sent out to before the one after 10?
There was. There was an earlier notice sent out to a small geo grid, very generic.
Farndale, I didn't get it.
Well, you have to remember the timeline. I'm going to use the public timeline that's available. You have a suspect in town before 5 a.m. You have a vehicle discovered at around 6:45 a.m. You have confirmation that this is possibly somebody involved in this incident around 8 plus a.m., maybe 8:30 a.m., and then you have a message by the time we have personnel to come in and get that sent out. And remember, this is not a hit the button and goes out to a million people. This is a hit to the button, and then it goes out to 100 people. And then 5 minutes later, another message to 100 people. So these messages are staggered. We've seen that happen with other reverse 911 systems where we can send a message and you're receiving it in 45 minutes later. And that's on all platforms.
Well, I think it's something we need to have a further discussion on. I don't know if any other board members want to chime in on this or how they feel, how important it is.
Is this something similar, Dr. Conway, if you can add how the Board of Ed or the school district uses their robocall system?
Yeah. Again, it's a different system. It's a standalone system called School Messenger. We use it. It's a people through their phone number contact information they give us and their email they give us. We're able to get the messaging out. We have not experienced significant delays, but I'm only sending out to, if I'm sending out to 1,600 at a time, I will normally get a response back that they're all sent out within about a 20 to 30 minute period of time. So I'll get an email that all phone calls are out and confirmed received. And but that usually is about a 20 minute process. So if you think of weekly updates, for example, is just a good example because we use it now weekly for weekly updates while we're out to parents and staff. Is a good indicator, but it takes probably about 20 minutes for all calls to go out to about 1,600 people in our case. We record the message, we send it out, it's all done remotely. I can do it from wherever and assign it to multiple staff to do it from wherever as well.
And that's basically strictly for schools?
No, we actually hooked the, I believe, the senior center in to be able to use it as well now. So it's not, it's a system that could be used far more than just for a school, but it was made for schools initially.
What's the cost on it?
We've used it for other reasons. So in fact, I did reach out to the chief that morning. I received a couple inquiries. People had seen stuff on Facebook. It's certainly not our place to send out anything like that, but it did, after receiving those messages from a couple people, reached out to the chief in that morning to say, to give him a heads up, we're getting information out, and if there's anything he needs that we could assist in, but that's not our business to send out messages like that.
Certainly, no, I understand that. I was just curious if that was something that...
certainly, the police department could look into if it's a system that the city could benefit using. We could certainly expand our licensing to do that, or the city have a license of its own to do that. We like the system. It does work well, and it gives you both text. It gives you all three, text, phone call, and email.
Yeah, okay.
Ron, I'll tell you, this is a great idea. When I was in Ansonia, Dave used it a lot for the water main breaks and stuff like that. I think it's something that we should really research. I think the chief would be agreeable to this, at least to get the information out. Like I said, when this all was transpiring early in the morning, it's like, what are we going to do to notify the residents out there? So I think we really should. I think the aldermen should look into seeing if we can purchase something and work with Doc and work with the chief.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I just think now's the time, too, because they're setting a budget and we can bring it to the full board in 2 weeks, maybe discussion in time a little further. So, Rob, if you'd like to make a motion to discuss this at the full board meeting.
Yeah, I'd like to
help in Doc.
Ron, Charlie Samsa, could I just have a second?
Sure.
Where I work, we do have a paid-for product, one that the chief actually talked about, Nixle 360. And although it has a few more nice little caveats, the biggest drawback to a commercial system is people need to opt in, where the state's database is far more robust with all the phone numbers available to send something out. So even though I'm only paying $6,000 a year for this service and I can send out the ice cream party messages, if you don't opt into this system, the same way that the school system work, if you don't give them your number, you are not going to get anything. So if your neighbor doesn't go on a website that we have set up and sends in a specific number or puts their phone in there, they will not get a message from these commercial systems. That is one caveat I just wanted to bring up.
Yeah, so it's an awareness issue. You have to do some schooling, yeah.
Go ahead, yeah. So just to add into that, that's the restriction with our system for emergency use, is that it uses a public database that is constantly updated. It's not unlike us tapping into the motor vehicle department registration or driver's licenses. The regular companies can't do that. So they would have to have an agreement with the state to do that. Code Red does not right now. So the nice thing with our current system is if we make the public more aware of it, instead of just using reverse 911, they can put in their text message numbers, their email, all these. They have the option to opt in through the state website. So I think in the interim, I think we need to put that out more publicly. And you can research the Code Red as well. But remember, I just checked with Ansonia, and the wild-ass numbers that I have are about $10,000 a year for less than or same connectivity with another product. So that, I just wanted to throw that out there.
So what was my problem that it came across as spam?
I don't know. That may be a service provider issue, or it may be an opt-in issue with the state. I can put that all out. I think we need to make the public more aware of what's available. And you have to remember at the same time, when unlike the school systems or Code Red, when you're pinging and sending out a message in Connecticut, you're competing with all the bandwidth of every other agency that's using the state system at the same time.
Drew, do you want to say something?
Yeah, just real quick. I spoke to you about this the day of the event, or maybe the day after, Ron. I subsequently shared the Derby Community Forum and the Derby CT News and Info site. I shared the link for people to opt into the state system. My question is, Chief, is that the same system that links
same
to
system.
Your
same system?
So, to your point, it would be really great if we all share that information via whatever avenues we can. I shared that via the mayor's Facebook and maybe Doc, you can even kick that out to your people as well. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think that is the way to go, and we can certainly use our in-house system to get the message out and the link out for people to the CT alert. I think that would be much more effective because two things. Our system, even within just Derby Public Schools, becomes outdated very quickly with people not remembering to update their information when it changes. So you change your email, and you forget, it's easy, where that email is, what it's linked to, and who has it, and what notifications you get through it. And if you're not informing somebody to update it, it doesn't get updated, just like a cell phone number. If you're not informing multiple parties that you've updated your cell phone number, you don't get the messages. And for us, and for our school secretaries, you know, we send out quite a few messages and you get a report back every time afterwards, and you're constantly reaching out to people based on that report to get their updated email or their updated cell phone number, because those things change quite a bit with more people than you think, with just in a short, you know, 1 week, 30-day period of time, that's changing, and we're constantly reaching out to people, trying to get them to give us the updated information so that we're not getting a report back where things aren't getting delivered. And to the point on spam, I think with any system that is sending out mass information like that, there are going to be people who do receive it. I'm not sure technology-wise or if it can be corrected, but even with our system, I will hear from people who have received it. Two people sitting next to each other, one could receive it with a normal Derby number. The next person is receiving it with a number that's identified as spam, even though it's the same message coming from the exact same system. We have discovered that as well, even within our system. But I think the best way to use our system is to get the message out to go sign up for the CT alert and send people that direct link.
All right, making them aware. What's the pleasure of the community board? How do you feel? Any discussion, Rob, Camille?
Yeah, I think it's worthwhile to bring to the full board to, you know, at least look at some options.
Open up discussion there. Yeah. All right, you want to make that motion, Rob?
Yeah, I'm making that motion to bring the reverse 911 discussion to the full board to weigh our options.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second on that? I'll second it. Discussion? All in favor?
Just asking, is there any task assigned to this, or are we going to start this all over again at the next full board meeting? Because or tonight, because that's going to come over tonight. There's nothing I can do as far as staff work to give you prices or comparison, et cetera.
Yeah, not on the agenda for tonight's meeting. So okay. We'll bring it next, just to make them aware,
next and month, then we'll yeah.
open it up. Yeah, next month. Thank you. Okay, all in favor? That's passing.
Hi.
Number 11, 196A property on Derby Avenue. Carm, I don't know if you want to say something about this. This is a piece of land that the city owns, and we want to send it out to at least get appraisal and possibly sell it. It's nothing the city would ever use, right, Carm?
Correct. I heard from both of the abutters on either side. One is a business. The other is a house. They're both interested in buying the piece of property to extend the yard or to make a parking lot. So I think it's going to be like the other ones that we're going to sell to an abutter. He cannot use it to build anything on, and he cannot use it to extend his other building. So what I need from the Board of Aldermen this next month would be to give permission to go out for appraisal.
Okay. Well, I'll make the motion that we go out for appraisal on the sale for the sale of the property at 196A Derby Avenue. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Hyder. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, so passed. And we'll go to the last thing here, number 12, City Hall building, that corner of the building that's missing for years and years. And I know I've been told by people that there's a tree that hides it and this and that, but we're not doing our job if we can't keep our building up to what it should be. So if it's the time to get money for it in the budget to fix it or whatever, I just want to bring it up at this time. I don't know if you want to say anything, Drew, or if anybody has any other ideas, but you know what I'm speaking about.
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah, as well. Going back to Mayor Staffieri's administration, it's been
at least. Yep.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty precarious thing, all the marble on the outside of the building. We have looked at some quotes to actually get rid of that completely and do some alternative things, whether it be aluminum or hardy board and things like that. All very expensive if it comes to replacement of all of the above. That particular piece of marble, you know, I think there had been some previous ideas of maybe we can find something similar. They certainly don't make those pieces anymore based on how old this building is. But really, to be fair, the entire exterior probably needs some major work. I mean, we're talking a huge capital expense, though. I think the mayor's walked away, but we got a quote on the hardy board option. It was like something like $250,000 to really get this exterior of this building up to snuff. So I don't think we want to spend that kind of money, but maybe there's something we can throw at it to shore up the exterior, seal some of those cracks, and also certainly replace the piece that you're referring to with some sort of option, even if it's a plastic version of that, that at least makes it look a little better. But right. I'll leave that to the Commissioner Armino to handle the actual nuts and bolts of that.
Because let's face it, if it was another building with a piece missing on Main Street, we'd be on their tail. And we're going to get Main Street fixed. It's coming, you know, so I'd like to get this thing rolling on the building. So who's going to handle that, Drew? Do you want to, should I bring it to the full board for discussion? Or
I think maybe you can empower Commissioner Armino to maybe get some quotes for some alternative finishes, especially on that corner, and maybe go from there.
Can you do that, Ed, and even just bring it back to our community relations?
I can do that. I can make some phone calls. I don't have anybody personally in mind. I don't know where we would get that done, but I could. I'll start looking at it.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Does anyone have anything further?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make a motion to adjourn the community relations at 6:46. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded. All in favor? All right.
Aye.
We're moving on. We got to re-sign into the next meeting, right?
Aye.